Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Tim Wildman is still at the popcorn machine. Has not returned to the program. It is Walker Wildman and I sitting in here with Steve Jordahl. Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How y'all doing?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
That was bold, Dad.
Yes, it was. It was. Tim Wildman was, and Dad, he's got coffee as well. So, you were back. we've been back. I told everybody that you had still at the popcorn machine and come back with coffee.
A friend of yours.
Well, he had to leave early. Richard Howe.
Richard Howe was here? I didn't even know Richard was in the building.
Yeah, I continue to talk about your
Yes, as you get your microphone set. Well, Steve Jordahl is here. What kind of news you want to...
Not much going on.
Not much.
Nothing at all today, eh?
All right, Steve Jordahl.
Well, I'd like to open up with something from the Russia Files. Breaking news, this is from Charlie Kirk is revealing this. He's the founder of Turning Point USA, and he is breaking the news that that Robert Mueller is going to indict 62,984,828 Americans for conspiring to elect President Trump.
Sounds like Babylon Bee stuff.
Is that from the Babylon Bee?
That's from Charlie Kirk's Twitter account. He might have gotten it from there. I don't know.
Who's Charlie Kirk?
Charlie Kirk is the founder of Turning Point USA. It's a
conservative think tank.
So he's going to arrest 62 million Americans?
He's going to indict them.
Indict them.
Yes.
Okay.
And then also from the Russia Files, we have this from California. This is from a California legislature assemblyman, Miguel Santiago. Did you guys talk about this?
No.
Miguel Santiago would like to... get rid of either Washington's birthday or Lincoln's birthday in the Golden State and replace it with a national May Day observance, Socialist Workers' Day or May Day observance. He wants to substitute that so that our schools can have a communist holiday, apparently.
What's a May Day?
May Day is the day, it's May 1st, and it's, or the holiday, the Monday probably closest in the United States, but it is used to commemorate the triumph of the communism in the Soviet Union. So they have a bill that's going through. In fact, we have a clip from a California lawmaker. This is clip number 3 that talks about the fact that it almost made it to a vote.
I don't understand letting kids out and letting teachers out. Replacing a school day with getting them out to a May Day rally. It actually was a party line vote in both the Education Committee as well as the Appropriations Committee. When it got to the floor, however, both myself and Assembly Member Melissa Melendez spoke against this and its ridiculousness. And I think under the scrutiny, this thing ended up not passing on the floor of the Assembly. But of course, the author asked for reconsideration, sure, which allows this to come for a future vote.
That was Assemblyman Matthew Harper.
Well, I know that back when the Soviet Union was still in existence, they would have May Day parades.
Yeah,
they would have these huge parades their military hardware and their soldiers. They weren't goose-stepping, but it was close. And so that's fantastic. California, there are people in California in the state assembly and apparently along party lines who think that's a good idea.
The bill would subsequently get rid of either George Washington or Abraham Lincoln's birthday as a holiday and designate May 1 as International Workers' Day.
As a school holiday.
School holiday.
Can the lunacy really continue to grow?
The lunacy can grow, let me tell you.
Lunacy can grow.
The lunacy can grow.
That'd be a great name for a band. Right there, huh?
Growing lunacy.
Growing lunacy.
That's right.
Welcome to the stage, everybody. Growing
lunacy. A communist holiday for schools.
Hey, it might happen. Nothing surprises me out of California.
You're right.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What do you got, Steve?
Well, and some more breaking news from this morning from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has struck down federal laws barring sports gambling.
We talked about that.
Did you talk about that?
Yeah, Fred got
okay,
that.
Okay, but
well, I'm so sorry.
Can you clarify a thing or two? We were trying to work our way through this. It is currently illegal, like let's just take the state of Texas,
right?
Okay, for you to bet on sporting events, is that right?
According to a 1992 law, yes.
Okay, so the feds were telling the states you can't do it.
That's right.
Only Nevada. So could you, if you lived in Texas, could you go to a website in in Las Vegas or call up in Las Vegas? Or is that illegal too?
No, you can. Most of the websites are offshore anyway, so they have been able to escape the U.S.
Okay.
laws. Technically, yes, it's illegal to operate a gambling casino online outside of Nevada and maybe New Jersey, but
okay.
they all go to the Caribbean anyways, where all those things.
All right. So that new Supreme Court ruling.
But this may pave the way to legalize betting in dozens of states.
Okay.
So
I just
apologize. I wasn't listening.
That's a Supreme Court decision that was announced today.
It is.
But in practical, for all practical purposes, I don't know how that changes anything. Americans, I don't. But Americans,
you would have to be kind of a gambling guru to really be able to
understand that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't bet on like my favorite teams because that's a sure way for them to lose.
Should bet on the opposite. Maybe you should bet on the Caps or the.
I don't think you should be encouraging me to bet, Steve.
I'm just saying if you can influence the outcome of a game with your betting.
Well, if you won, you could tithe more.
That's right.
Now, you guys, I was opening up, and you guys are mocking.
All right,
that's all right.
I'm just
fine.
Saying.
You know, mock away.
Is that dirty money?
Is it the important thing is you ask the pastor,
ask your elders if that's
is that
dirty.
Wait a minute,
it is an elder. It is an elder.
Moving along, we have someone important on the phone.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Governor Phil Bryan of the state of Mississippi is on with us. Talk about a new car tag that Mississippi has coming up, and Governor Bryant, good morning and welcome to our program.
Good morning, guys. Well, glad to be with y'all this morning. I'm just listening, and I'm sure your listeners think, well, it's unusual that we got the governor of Mississippi on to discuss the car tag.
Yes.
But it's caused a great deal of discussion here in the state and a great deal of anger and anxiety, unfortunately, among a lot of people, because what the License Tag Commission, which is made up of the governor's office, the attorney general, and the state treasurer, and what they've decided the new design would be. We do this every 5 years, primarily to help law enforcement identify who's actually buying tags and who's not. So we've had a tag now with B.B. King's guitar on it for 5 years. So every 5 years, we change the design. And this year, we put the state seal on the design, which, of course, we changed in several years ago, I think it may have been 14, to encourage them, in the legislature, what they did, to put the national motto, "In God We Trust," on Mississippi's car tag, like 19 other states have done. 19 other states have incorporated the national motto, "In God We Trust," on their car tags. And unfortunately, it seems, if you look at the old Twitter and Facebook, there's a lot of very angry people when you mention the national motto.
Yeah, "In God We Trust." So that I did see a copy of that the other day. What the tag is? The tag out now, or is it going to come out in the near future?
It will. I think it will be out later on this year, and you have to go through the printing process. So this will be the new metal tag, and we contract with a company to be able to do that at the lowest bidder. People still think that they're made by prisoners, and they're not. We found a better way of doing that. But the interesting thing, guys, I was looking at, you know, all of the threats of lawsuits, and even one of the reporters, you know, the reporters, of course, have picked this up. We got very, let's just say left-wing media like everyone else does. It's just their position in life, but they've picked it up. And one said, "Oh, a Republican friend says this is an invitation to a lawsuit." Well, if it is, They're going to have to sue Alaska and Indiana and Pennsylvania and Virginia and Wisconsin, which are among the group of 19 other states. We would be 20th, the 20th state to use the slogan "In God We Trust," which was adopted as our national motto and which is incorporated in our state seal.
Yeah, absolutely. "In God We Trust," which will be, appear on the tag of the state of Mississippi coming up, as Governor Bryant, who's on with us from state of Mississippi, he's cited 19 other states, and it is the national motto. I think they can sue. I just don't see how you win that one, given all that you've said right there.
You know, I mean, if you're going to use a dollar bill or most any other currency, you're going to notice that it's also emblazoned upon every dollar bill, every paper bill, and most coins will have "In God We Trust" in it. So, but it's interesting to see the secular society that we now have, and of course they have the ability to express their beliefs as well as we do. Yeah. But you just feel an anger and a resentment that wasn't there in the past.
Yeah. They hate,
and that's just so unfortunate.
Yeah, they hate the God that doesn't exist. Basically,
I think Tim, you may have shared with me that you're exactly right. If people get mad at you, say because you believe in a God that we think doesn't exist.
I never quite understood the passion that these atheists have for people who believe in God. Why do you even care if somebody believes in Santa Claus? I mean, why does it bother? Why does it bother you?
Yeah.
One other question, Steve Jordahl. What do you have a question?
Good morning, Governor Steve Jordahl. Steve Jordahl, American Family News. How you doing? I missed you at this year's hog ride. I'm sorry I couldn't make it down for this last year, but I know that you had a good ride. What I wanted to ask you. I hope I will be back. Listen, I wanted to ask you because I've been a resident of the great state of Mississippi for about 2.5 years now, and I've noticed there are a lot of specialty plates. Is there a pro-life specialty plate?
There is. As a matter of fact, we introduced that bill, I would say, nearly a decade ago, and it's generated an amazing amount of revenue for the pro-life community throughout the state, and we're very proud of it. I see them quite often.
Yeah.
And you're right, there is a large number of specialty tags. I saw one just the other day for a Purple Heart recipient in the state. But you have wildlife tags, all of these tags that are available. And people take an opportunity to be able to do that. And the extra money they pay, about $35, will go in part to a charity of their choice. If they buy that pro-life tag, it'll go to one of the pro-life organizations throughout the state.
Governor Bryant, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Take
care. I'm proud of it. It's a beautiful tag. It's going to look good on every car in the state of Mississippi. And we're proud of our national motto.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Okay. That's Governor Phil Bryant of the state of Mississippi. Yeah, my wife has Choose Life tag.
A specialty plate?
Yeah, it's a pro-life message. And I think you have to pay extra for that. I think you said $35.
But I think
some of that or all of it goes to like the local crisis pregnancy centers or something, doesn't it?
I think that's what those specialty plates do. You buy them and the money goes, or at least a portion of it, goes to the group associated with it. So you can buy a save wildlife thing and some of the money.
I got one that says I'm great.
I'm great?
Yeah.
It's a Tim Wildman specialty plate?
Well, yeah.
So do you get, and everyone else gets part of that money?
I would get it back.
Yeah.
Because I'm.
That'd be the racket to try to create.
And it has hashtag humility at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Governor Bryant, to commend Governor Bryant on not only this, the car tag issue, you know, defending it, but on innocent life, on the pro-life issue and on religious freedom, constitutional issues. Governor Bryant has been on the front line.
He's a beast.
And he's a motorcycle rider, as I alluded to. The hog ride is a motorcycle charity ride.
You know what? I'm glad you clear that up. I know this will only open up another can of mockery. I thought there was a literal hog riding event.
No, it's a hog.
Like, you know. Tim's is hanging his head in embarrassment for
the hog is another
really
name.
Right now, I really am right now. Yet I wouldn't.
The hog is another name for a Harley Davidson.
I do know that now. I mean, I knew that, but I thought it was something like, you know, they're riding horseback and
I think,
motorcycle.
I just don't think you're going to – I think Diane's just going to text you in a minute and say, don't come home today because you've humiliated the whole – you've humiliated the family.
I thought hog riding – the governor was on a hog riding
every year.
But he makes
that's what they call. That's the name they call Harleys and stuff.
Harleys,
right?
Yeah.
I knew that, but
so no, you didn't.
Well,
no,
I knew that they call them hogs, but why would I think it was motorcycles?
I don't know. You need to stick with hockey, really. I would say. And all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, in fairness to you, people do ride all kind of animals, right?
Yes.
For sport.
That's right.
So I could, you know, you
stay on for 8 seconds.
Catching the grease pig.
Yes.
They do that some places.
Yeah. Chickens.
Chickens wringing their necks.
I know. See?
I'm going to wring your neck, son.
Yeah.
I heard that all growing up.
I did too.
I never knew what it meant.
And I grew up in New England. I grew up in the city.
And you heard that your daddy, your parents?
I'm going to wring your neck.
Wring your neck.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I don't think you can say that to a kid today without being sued.
You can, however, say it to the press secretary of the United States, the White House. It's amazing you bring this up because this is this is from MSNBC. I don't have this particular phrase on this clip I'm going to play you, but Nicole Wallace was talking about Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, and she said on her show, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck? Why can't she just say a staffer said that, we're going to get to the bottom of it and she'll be fired, talking about these alleged comments by a staffer that said that John McCain's opinion didn't matter because he was going to die. And so that's been what the press has been all up in arms about lately, because they don't want to talk about anything positive about President Trump. But she actually literally did threaten the White House press secretary with wringing her neck.
Really?
Yeah. I want you to listen
that
to
poor
this.
Lady.
You know what? 30 seconds, and then you go right to that. These people who cite what some aide said for the president about John McCain dying, I wouldn't have said that. I don't think that was a good thing to do. You got Madonna out here talking about blowing the White House up, and they don't say a word about you know what I'm saying about these things. These liberal news media acts so indignant about things that they, if it's done against President Trump, they laugh and cheer about.
Right.
I'm talking about the same type of rhetoric. Go ahead. Right.
Well, I just wanted to play you a little bit of the disdain that this media has. First of all, the first comment you're going to hear are Nicole Wallace, and she is talking about First Lady Melania Trump's her agenda. She announced what she was going to be doing with her position as First Lady, what she was going to advocate for. Listen to the disdain with which the anchor has that. And then the second voice you hear is another colleague at MSNBC talking about having to sit through these White House briefings. Cut 7.
Susan Walker, we covered the First Lady's, I don't know, go good, be good, be whatever her thing was called.
Be best.
I mean, how does this comport with that? What is the motivation for anyone in Kristen's role? I won't put Kristen on the spot, but to sit in that room and take this, I don't know the difference anymore between Baghdad Bob and Sarah Sanders.
I don't want to try to, I would never want to in any way disparage our colleagues who have to live through that horror show every day.
Who's that talking there?
That was she was talking to MSNBC correspondent, and I didn't write his name down. It didn't matter to me.
This is why 4% of America or whatever it is now trusts the mainstream media.
Yeah. MSNBC, aren't they down there?
I would just say don't go. If the MSNBC
they
anchors,
don't have to go.
If they dread going to the White House press briefing, don't go. And I don't even think I think it's gotten so out of hand. Why even have those? You know, we can answer media requests via email, written response, and we'll select which shows we decide to go.
Do it once a week.
Yeah, but this whole press briefing thing.
Yeah.
Now Sarah Sanders handles it well.
Yeah,
she does.
And so she makes it to where. It works out good for the
She president. Said the other day the way that she handles it so well, specifically with Jim Acosta, says whining at him all the time. She says, I've got kids that whine at me all the time, so I'm used to whining.
Jim Acosta, oh my goodness. this is after this, my understanding, when she retires from this, she's going to be doing shark dentistry, and it's going to be a little easier. A lot less stressful.
Yeah.
I don't know what these people are going to do about the peace summit in June 12th or whatever.
Singapore?
I'm talking about the liberal news media. They're just probably going, how in the world can we spin this thing negatively? I mean, somebody's going to have to get creative here.
Yeah.
So let's have a couple meetings about this.
Either that or they'll cover it for 30 seconds and then move on to the Mueller investigation.
Right.
So they'll say, President Trump met with Kim Jong-un today to announce that he's denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula.
Right.
Next in sports.
Yes.
Is that how it'll be covered?
Back to the Mueller investigation of collusion with Russia. Daniels and any other porn stars we can interview.
Our Mueller is now fishing into the North Korean waters about whether President Trump and Kim Jong-un are colluding.
Collusion, yes. Yeah.
With North Korea. This is the headline from the Babylon Bee, and this is probably where the mainstream is going to go. The Babylon Bee, which is a parody site. CNN report, evil Trump kidnaps three people from North Korean paradise.
I saw that last week.
That was great.
It was right next to a headline that says, John MacArthur performs miracle, turns wine into water.
Babylon Bee's satire site, so don't take it seriously, but it's got some funny stuff.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issue. Steve, you got 3 minutes of content left.
I'm trying to think if we should do something. I don't want to do something that's really kind of serious. So let me end with this. This is a Democrat that is running for office.
That's depressing. That's
I know. Well, it's the best thing I got left. Her name is Nadia Hashimi. She's running for the U.S. House, and she is deriding and she is sorry because there's no female doctors in the House of Representatives. Cut six.
Is there a female doctor in the House? There's one in this House, but zero female doctors in this House. Meet Dr. Nadia Hashimi, pediatrician, author, mother of four.
I'm running for Congress to bring my expertise on healthcare to a place that has zero female doctors. I'll protect Planned Parenthood, combat opioid addiction, ban assault weapons, and fight for affordable health care and prescription drugs. I approve this message because Congress has too many multimillionaires and politicians mansplaining health care.
Mansplaining health care.
And what state is she running?
She is running in, I should know this.
Let me guess.
Maryland.
Maryland.
She's looking to replace Democrat Senator John Delaney, or Democrat Representative John Delaney.
Because he's a moderate.
Yes. Right. But, you know, to my knowledge, there are also no experts on tropical insects in the House. Maybe we should be running one of those.
Well, there you go. There's your opening.
Only women can run a war on men.
That's right. It's true.
But if we were...
We can't run a war on women.
Yeah, imagine a man running a campaign ad saying that there were too many women in Congress. It would be blasted.
It wouldn't go over well, would it?
No.
And boy, we don't want any more... female splaining. I'm tired of women telling me what to do.
Imagine
anyway.
That.
How would that go? How would that be extended? What did you call it, man?
Mansplaining. It's when a man explains things that are, you know, that,
in a condescending way.
Yeah,
apparently.
It's a term from the left.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like if
yeah, I get it.
Okay.
I got it.
Usually, it doesn't take more than that for someone to understand.
It's kind of like if my wife thought the governor was riding a pig at an event.
Yeah, right. She would say something like that.
Yeah. And I would say, no, sweetie, that's not.
She probably just wouldn't have said anything at all once she realized how bad that would look her look.
Thank you,
Steve. I'd like to take you snipe hunting.
I've been snipe hunting.
Put lipstick on that hog.
Yeah. Hog riding. Ed means riding a pig.
When I first went to Bible college, my roommates, one from Arkansas, one from New Mexico, I was a city boy. They took me snipe hunting.
All right. We are out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a great day. The U.S. opens their embassy in Jerusalem. We'll see you next time, everybody, on Today's Issues.